That's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, getting ready to talk with Dr. Ray Brooks from out there at Piedmont Tech. You know, he's the big guy in charge. That's a double entendre, Ray.
I don't know about that now. I don't even know what that means.
The big guy. I mean, okay. The big guy. You know, yeah. You are a big guy.
Yeah.
And you have been doing a lot of good things out there at Piedmont Tech with your staff. I mean, you really have, I must say, you really energized the people that work at Piedmont Tech.
Well, thank you. I've been blessed. I came here, it's hard to believe, but I came to Greenwood in March of 2008, and 6 years, starting my seventh year, and it's been a really good career. Time here in my career, I was a president for 23 years in a Georgia technical college before I retired and came here. And I think probably the last 6 years have been six of the most enjoyable professional years and personal that I have gotten to know some great people here in Greenwood, the surrounding communities, like you, Jill, other folks. And it's just been a really rewarding time. And I think the folks at the college have done a tremendous job. You couldn't have asked for a group of people to work any harder. And we've had some tough situations and circumstances to work in. The first year I got here, which we're on a physical year of July to June, we were in the third quarter of the physical year and got a 20% reduction in our state appropriation right there at the end of the year. And now let me tell you, that takes some scrambling to balance your budget.
That's a punch in the gut.
It was pretty much felt like a punch in the gut.
Yeah.
But we gathered ourselves together and pulled our pants up and went about the business. And the college has grown and thrived and continues to grow and thrive.
Well, I think, Ray, some of the things that have happened, like instant admissions, changing around how people get into Piedmont Tech, making sure that you have all those people there to help somebody start making a career difference for themselves has made a big difference right there.
It has. I think the big difference that I've seen is people realize that if they want to live a life today, that in a lifestyle that's comfortable, they've got to have an education. The fact is, they're not going to find a job that pays a really good wage where you can support a family, buy a house, live the stereotypical American dream, without, first of all, making sure you take care of your education, both high school and after high school, and continue. You and I were talking before we went on the air. If I go out and go to work today, my education's just really starting. That's the entry point, because I'm going to learn every day from then on, or technology may totally displace what I'm doing, and I may have to retool again and go back into the workforce doing something else. And while there are some downsides to that, the good side is most of those are very, we were talking about STEM, and we hear so much about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, but not all STEM jobs pay well.
Well, that's
what people are classifying as STEM jobs, so I think that's very misunderstood, and I think one of the things that we try to do is help potential students understand, or we try to understand what they're talking to us and what their interests are, and then match them up with the right educational program that will hopefully allow them to fulfill their desires and dreams and get a job or go into a career that lets them live the kind of lifestyle they ultimately want to live. And that's really, at the end of the day, is what it's all about. I tell somebody also, the other thing is making sure that we do it in such a way that the college education remains accessible and affordable, because I said if we had the best college and university in the world sitting here and we couldn't go, it's useless to us. If I can't access it, what good's it going to do me? What good's it going to do to the community?
Well, I think you're right on that, Ray, but also the thing is that learning is going to continue, like you said. But the jobs that people are doing, and with the machinery and stuff that's involved, you and I were talking about before when they moved all the manufacturing to Mexico and whatever, they were looking at cheap labor.
Yeah, and that's no longer the case. We were also discussing a lot of the plants that we're seeing opening facilities today are those same facilities that are coming back to the United States using very high technology to run those facilities, paying a very good salary, for people to run those facilities. Now, they're employing less people and doing more and manufacturing more through automation. That's one of the places where we see STEM applied, and where it we have a program called Mechatronics that was primarily driven by BMW. And if you look at a production facility today that builds automobiles, and you look at one 20 years ago, majority of it was done by hand. Even some of the welding was done by hand. You go through and look today, the painting, the welding, a lot of the assembling. There's still a lot of people in there working, but they're operating machinery, they're calibrating equipment, and a lot of those folks are there maintaining, and that's where the mechatronics program comes in, maintaining that equipment that allows BMW to build a car here in the United States and sell it and be competitive.
And they can sell it overseas.
They actually do sell
that's
it. They
right.
export them overseas, and that's sort of a different twist. And I think a lot of folks also are suffering from the misunderstanding that we're losing all of our manufacturing base here in the United States. We're not losing it. We've got more manufacturing than we've ever had. What we don't have is the number of manufacturing jobs. Now, we have a lot of manufacturing jobs that we struggle to fill simply because people have a misunderstanding of what modern-day manufacturing is. The plants are clean. They're safe. They're air-conditioned for the most part. And our wonderful working conditions, and we're fortunate here in Greenwood, Partnership Alliance. I work, serve on the board there, and you and I were talking, there's a potential for over the next 4 or 5 years for several companies that are looking, or seriously looking at Greenwood, that could be as many as 1,000 new jobs coming to this community. And
what's that going to mean to Piedmont Tech?
Well, it's going to mean we need to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to have the programs available to work with those companies. And also, we need to get out and help people understand that, you know, I hear people talk about a job and they say, well, you're lucky, you got this job. And I think to myself, I am lucky, or you may be lucky for doing this, but I took care of my education. I worked hard at everything I've ever done. And there it was, luck. But luck, by definition, in my mind, is when preparation and opportunity present. And if I was out there today doing something that I didn't particularly enjoy, or I didn't think I was making enough money, I would look at getting myself prepared so that when an opportunity does present itself, I can engage in it and have a pretty good reassurance that I'm going to get that job. I can remember when I first went to a technical college back in the 70s, we had welders that were making $10 an hour coming out of school. And I thought that was more money than I could conceive.
You couldn't figure out how to spend that much money.
No. And I was an auto mechanic. And we were making, and when I went out and made a good living, and then I got back into education. But we have welders today that are going up making $25, $30 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. And these people in mechatronics, within the first year, they land a job at a facility like ZF, or like at some of the, got Colgate coming here.
Yep,
we're very excited about that in Greenwood. Some of those top level tier technicians that keep those plants running, you're looking at $60,000 to $70,000 a year.
You can live very well here in Greenwood on an income like that.
Yeah.
Yes, you sure can.
And benefits.
And benefits too. You know, these are the things, but also we were talking about the fact is, are we going to have enough people? You know, I kind of questioned your logic here. In fact, I think we'll hear a quick word from our sponsors when we come back. We're going to be talking about, do we have enough people for the jobs that will be available? You may say, Ann, you've lost your marbles. I think I have. But don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I tell you what, it's hard for me to figure out where to go with this man. I tell you what, I have the president of Piedmont Technical College, Ray Brooks, with us. We're talking about lots of different topics here, but one of the topics we were just talking about before we went to the break was, and can you believe this, we may not have enough people to fill the jobs. Now, Ray, what did you mean by that?
Let me go back and qualify that in enough qualified people to fill the jobs. I think we have plenty of people, but what we have to do is make sure folks understand, goes back to the previous point we made, you need to be prepared for the jobs. I've heard a saying one time that generals always fight the last war.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't need to be focusing on the last economy or the hands industrial age where you checked your brain at the door. And for example, if I'm working in a job that I'm not real happy, we talked about that a little bit a minute ago, I'm not making the kind of money I want, I'm not being challenged, I don't need to just sit there and be unhappy. Now, whether you go to Piedmont, whether you go to Land, or wherever you go, I think our challenge in higher education is to not only engage those students that are going to school full-time that can come on a regular schedule, but individuals that are wanting to make a career change, or all of a sudden they get to the point where they want to do something different with their lives, but you can't just stop where you are because you've got family concerns.
Sure.
Is we have to have programs and services set up and available so that they can learn other work and do other jobs. One of the real interesting ones that I've seen that's caught on really big here in the upstate has been apprenticeships.
Yeah, that's an old technique.
It's an old model.
Right.
But if you think about it, there's a lot of things we can simulate at the college.
Mm-hmm.
But if I've got a piece of machinery out there that costs $10 million or $1 million, and it's big as your whole building here, I can't simulate that at the college. Now, the controls on it are going to be very similar to anything we can simulate. But if we do registered apprentice where people actually get paid to go out and do this, they go to school and they learn the classroom portion and they get to the point they're ready to start. Then they go to this company and they work with master operators. They get the best of both worlds. And the other thing is 90% of those folks that do that end up getting hired by the place
by
they
the did
the apprenticeship. And it does two things. One thing, I think if we use the analogy of a car, it allows the person to test drive the car, such as the company, to see if it's the culture they want to work in, and it allows the company to see if that person is a good fit for the company and or the business. And I think when you get that, and that's not the answer for everyone, but for some folks. And I think that's the thing that, going back to your point, there's not any one delivery model that fits every student. And our challenge at Piedmont is to look at all the folks that we serve in all the seven counties and try to figure out a strategy to enable them to get to the place they want to be. We want to meet them where they are and get them where they want to be. But what I would encourage them, I'll be 63 years old this year, and when I got out of high school, I went to a technical college and became an auto mechanic. And if somebody would ever have told me that I would have ended up where I've ended up and been able to do, and let me say blessed to be able to do the things I've been able to do, I would have probably fell down in the floor and busted a gut laughing. But basically it was because there were people that had been visionary enough to, one, encourage me, but secondly, to have educational opportunities that I could engage when I was ready to engage them and disengage when I needed to, and then re-engage when my family life would allow me to, the whole time allowing me to move forward. And I see and my wife was the same way. She started out as a secretary, and that education fundamentally changed both of our lives. I've got 5 degrees from 4 different colleges and universities, and if it wasn't for my auto mechanics diploma, I could have not have gotten any of the others, because that's how I put a roof over our head, put food on our table, and raised our son when he was small, while I was doing all these other things that eventually started teaching and then went back to school and eventually got into administration and eventually became president of a college and then retired from there, wasn't ready to quit, and came to South Carolina. And I think that's the value of it, is the fact that we have to be able to engage learners and meet them where they are. But the thing I can't overemphasize is, if you're out there or if you know somebody that's out there and you know they can do better, encourage them. And it may take a while. It may not be a quick and easy path.
Not be a straight line.
It might not be, but, what do you got to lose?
And you've got a whole lot to gain.
You've got everything to gain.
That's right. And, that is one of the advantages of particularly of technical schools, is that they do allow you to take a quarter or a semester or whatever, and then if you need to step out because you've got financial obligations or things come up, you can do that and yet get back to it as quick as you can.
Yeah.
And on top of that, with your online learning now, I mean, you can do so much different ways to learn. It doesn't have to be sitting at a Piedmont Technical College classroom.
Online, hybrid, we have, I don't know if you're aware now, we got 8 campuses.
Mm-hmm.
We added the Center for Advanced Manufacturing in Lawrence, which was primarily in response to ZF Transmission locating there. We've had over 3,000 people already go through that center that are working. Some of them, most of them are at ZF, but a lot of them are at the other companies up there.
And then there's a lot of spin-off companies that are coming in because of ZF.
Oh, it's the suppliers,
yes,
the tier
right.
one suppliers. And,
sure.
And we just got Colgate coming to Greenwood. And there's, if you watch the paper and you watch the county council agendas, you'll see them discussing many times companies looking to come to Greenwood. And I think we're fortunate. It's easy to take shots at politicians, but I think the hard thing to do is sit down and thank them for their vision sometimes when they do things that result in a company such as Colgate coming here, bringing 300 jobs or so, brand new jobs, good paying jobs to this community. That didn't happen in a vacuum. It didn't just happen. I don't know who said this one time. First person I ever said it was Zell Miller. But if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, it didn't get there by itself.
Not likely.
No, and if you see a company locate here, or if you see it, they just didn't all of a sudden pick out a map and throw a dart and decide to come to Greenwood, South Carolina.
That is the problem, is that it's so competitive to get these good companies to move into an area. You've got North Carolina, you've got other towns and cities here in South Carolina, Florida, Georgia. So they're all looking for the same people.
They are. And the word you said, compete, is the big issue. They are competing, and we've got to have a competitive advantage. That advantage has to be industrial parks that have all the utilities and facilities already there.
We're kind of lacking on that one now. We've used up most all our facilities.
We have, and that's a good thing. We've had companies
absolutely.
Come in, but I know there's discussions in place looking at how we can move forward on that agenda. Because everybody at the end of the day wants to be able to provide for their family. And you do it through jobs and careers that, again, let us go back and move it. Proverbs says, where there is no vision, the people shall perish. And it's the same thing with communities. It's the same thing with businesses. It's the same things with colleges. And our vision.
Same thing with countries.
Countries,
yes.
And our vision at Piedmont is to be one of the premier technical colleges in the country. I can't remember if I've talked to you since we won, but you were, and congratulations to you on your award for being chosen as one of the top radio programs in South Carolina. But we were chosen last year as a Bellwether Award winner.
That was huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
That was huge.
And that was a national recognition of what we're doing at Piedmont Technical College. And
right here in Greenwood, South Carolina, yes.
But what it's done also is we've gotten colleges from all over the country that come visit us to see what we're doing and what we did based on that award, because they want to go try to replicate the things we're doing. And I've often said, you and I are both the dog lovers.
Yeah.
And this probably is not the best thing I shouldn't say, but it's not bad. But the lead dog in the dog sled team has a very different view than the
but
others.
The last dog in never, the view never changes.
Yes, that's correct.
That's the one I know, yes,
yeah,
you're right.
So, you know, I'd much rather be up close to the top of the heap and looking at that. And I just can't say enough about the things that I see happening in our region. It's, you know, I always hear about Greenville. Greenville's a nice place, but I love living here in Greenwood.
You're absolutely right. Hey, you know, I'm just going to bring up a point real quick, and then we're going to hear South Carolina radio news. Yesterday, we had Jimmy Burton on from the Burton Center, and he said, people are always coming to the Burton Center from across the state, looking at what they're doing. How are they so engaged in the community and part of the community? And what makes Burton Center so great? And he said he makes his people go out and be part of our community and makes
a
big difference.
And they have a passion for what they do.
Absolutely. Hey, it's time for South Carolina News. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Okay, we're just talking about, and with Dr. Ray Brooks, the president of Piedmont Technical College. Let's see. Expand, but be lean, work with less. That's a tough model to try to mold, isn't it, Ray?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like being a magician, I guess, in a way. But that's literally what we've had to do, and I think what all education's had to try to do is we've had the downturn in the economy. We had more people needing to come to college. We had resource issues with facilities and equipment, and obviously our faculty and staff were, hopefully we could reward them in the good times, and that's when we embrace lean, which is basically a version of the Toyota production system, which basically you look at, and let me first say, we're not where we need to be. We're much better than where we were, but the one thing you find out about that journey is it is a journey. It's not a destination. You'll never get there, but you try to improve your efficiencies, your effectiveness, clear direct connections to everything. If it doesn't add value, why are you doing it?
Right.
If it's not consistent in what your outcomes are, then you know your processes are not good. Most of what we had found in a lot of organizations, especially organizations like ours, is problems would crop up. People would think they knew what the problem was. They would implement a solution, which I'm going to use as equivalent of a Band-Aid. Something else would happen. They'd put another Band-Aid on that Band-Aid. And I think it was Dr. Demings, that was the founder of a quality movement. And I think it was Ron Melinder I first heard say this when he was still at Capps Jail, is that most people don't spend enough time in understanding the problem before they move to the solution portion. They will try to solve.
Because they're so sure they know what the solution is, I think.
But then they implement a solution and they still see these same or similar results. And if you don't track your data, then you don't know if you've solved the problem. And if you do implement a solution and your outcomes remain the same, all you've dealt with is a symptom. You have never got down to the root cause of whatever it is you're working on.
Sure. Exactly.
And some of it's simple. We had a early alert system at the college, which if a student was not doing well in a class, I was asking about it one day. We were talking about retention or people staying in school to finish, and somebody said, well, we've got an early alert system. And I said, well, describe it to me. And they got to talking about it's this form, and there were faculty members and staff members in this meeting, and so everybody, you know how you can read people and you see this look on folks' face, and I'm asking them, I said, well, have any of y'all ever seen this form? Well, no. And I said, well, do we know if we've ever had a student that has been saved, so to speak, that's still in school because of the form? Well, no. And I said, so you're telling me we got a plan, but we never have implemented it, and it doesn't work. And usually by the time they fill the form out and they got the person that needed it, the person was already gone. Well, you can't do that. You've got to intervene in a timely manner. And so one of our folks that had been through the training, a lady named Brenda Edwards, I believe, took this on as a project, and they got a group of folks together to study it. And first they automated it, where it could happen very quickly. Then it went straight to the person that needed to contact them. And the goal was within 48 hours of somebody noticing there was a problem with a student, and now they're trying to get that down less, but that student, there had been an intervention with that student, either for tutors or counseling or whatever, to try to figure out. And it may be something outside of the school environment, but it was impacting their. And what's interesting is a lot of times the answer was, I didn't know anybody cared.
Sure.
They're out there suffering maybe with a personal problem that's affecting their academic performance, and they really didn't know where to turn. And then all of a sudden they get a phone call or something from somebody they don't even know saying, Ann, you know, we haven't seen you in a day or so, or your work's not up to par. I'd like to meet with you to talk about it. And it was really
makes a difference.
Well, it does. People, I don't remember who it was that the quote is attributed to, but people don't care what they say until they know that you care. And that's essentially, I guess, if I had to sum up what we're trying to do at Piedmont. And again, let me say, we're not perfect. There's all sorts of examples of where things have fell through the cracks. But I can tell you one thing, we will work as hard as we can to make it right, to be fair, to be transparent and to do the right thing.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to mention a little while ago I had Steve Coleman on.
Oh, Steve is wonderful.
He is. But one of the aspects of the program, and I can't think of
Genesis.
Okay, I was right. I was thinking that was right. One of the aspects of
Leviticus,
of that program, of that program is the fact that they are there and they are watching that safety net to try to make sure that students that are in the program don't drop out.
Yeah.
And that's a biggie.
Well, they're doing a great job, too. One of the most underrepresented demographics in higher education is African-American males. And we were able to get a grant to hopefully go out and recruit, retain and graduate young African-American men to go into the community. We tied that program in with Clemson's Call Me Mr. program, which is tied to teachers so that they'll have positive role models in our schools for young folks to emulate. And Steve is the ideal person to lead that program. Steve played collegiate basketball at Stetson.
Yep.
He's originally from Clennon or Lawrence. I can't remember. I think it's Clennon, South Carolina, maybe Lawrence. But he's been where a lot of the kids, when they're in high school, think they're going to end up. And then if their plan doesn't work out, you know, and academically, and they get lost out there someplace, it's sometimes hard for those young men to get a vision as to where they want to go. And Steve has done a great job.
Yes.
We think that we're in our third year, I believe, of that grant and have seen tremendous results from it. And we look forward, we think it will be renewed, and we look forward to continue to expand in the population of young men that come to Piedmont and go on and do
it's been a
great
win.
Things.
It's been a win for Piedmont Tech because there's been a lot of good equipment, hands-on HVAC and all type of equipment that everybody gets to use. Yeah.
And the local business and industries, going back to your earlier question, where are those employees going to come from? They're going to come from programs like that and others and other things that we try. It goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier. I don't think there's any one solution. There's no silver bullet. The only person who had a silver bullet was the Lone Ranger, and that was a TV program.
And where is the Lone Ranger when we
need
him?
Yeah.
Or
waiting on Superman.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
we can't wait
right.
on Superman. We've got to take control of our own destiny, I guess, if I had to sum up everything I was trying to tell people. Be in charge of our own life, take responsibility for our life, and if we're not content with it, act. And the first step in acting is put one foot in front of the other, dial the phone, do something, but take control of your life and don't just sit around and worry about, you know, we all have control of the time that we spend, and if we spend it in a productive manner, I believe that we will reap the rewards of that down the road. And it's the same in an organization. If we focus on the things that are important, not to us, but to our students and the communities we serve, then I think the communities we serve will end up being better places. And I've been so blessed in my life to be able to work in a collegiate environment like a Piedmont Tech and have seen so many lives transformed that it's a pure blessing. My wife and I, this has been probably 20 years ago. I had not been a president that long at the time. It may have been 30 years ago. It isn't a long time ago. We were still living in Georgia. And it was one of those years at Christmas where it was warm. I was not in the mood. And we were at a local department, little store, convenience store-like thing, shopping. Lady walks up to me and she said, "Are you Dr. Brooks from blank blank tech?" And I said, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what have we done to you?
Here it is, Christmas. I just want to hear good things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am. Can I help you with something?" And she said, "Yeah, I want to thank you." She said, "I graduated from the XYZ program a year and a half ago. I had been living in public housing. I was unmarried and had two children I was trying to take care of." And she said, "I just thought my world was at an end until I met one of your folks at some function. I don't know if it was a community job fair or through one of the, labor office, whatever." But she said, "They talked to me like they treated me with respect, talked to me like I was a real person. I went out there, they helped me get enrolled, and I finished the program. I got a job, I've got my own apartment." And she said, "This is the first time I can tell you in many years that I have been looking forward to Christmas instead of dreading it. Because in the past," she said, "the presents my children got were the presents that they got when we went around from the various agencies that were doing Christmas gifts. And what we had basically helped her do was find her dignity and recover it. And that, I asked her then, I said, can I hug you? I mean, it was just one of those experiences.
It was a great Christmas present.
It was the best Christmas present I could have ever gotten. And when I see folks out in the community that have done things with their lives, just made these huge changes, or I see them anywhere, and I've been doing this enough now that I start seeing children of people that I taught when I was teaching, and it's been a wonderful life. And if I had it, you know, I came along a different path than most people do, but if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't change it, because it gives me, I think, an appreciation for the struggles that people go through on a daily basis to try to improve their lot in life, or just try to get from one day to the next. And sometimes that's hard to do when you can't see, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, because you think it's a train fixing to run over you.
Absolutely. And you know, the variability for we need all our people to see that this is something that they can do, and that there is a big difference between, what shall we say, being on government assistance and having a dead end, because that is a dead end. You're only going to get so much every month, and maybe it'll continue and maybe it won't, but you can change it if you get involved and take control of your life.
I totally agree with that.
But that's the thing that I think a lot of people need to see. And I would think one of the challenges of Piedmont Tech would be to reach the people that are in this situation that need to step out of that box and say, I maybe can do myself.
And I think that programs like yours and other places where we go to talk are ideal venues, because they may not be people that are in that situation listening to us, but if you know folks, encourage them. And one of the things I would like to say is, if somebody comes to us and they've got, there are financial aid programs in place that we can cover close to 100%, and in some instances 100% plus of what it costs them to come to college.
Sure.
And to get a better job. And if you want to be a registered nurse, you may not have 3 years right now, but you can become a medical assistant, go to work, and still go to school. You can get there.
You can go from a CNA to a registered nurse.
If you want to think about it as a stair step, you can climb that ladder as high as you want to go. It just depends on. I told somebody one time, our body will endure what our mind can comprehend. And sometimes we can do things that we can't do. We just have to convince ourselves that we are, and that we are able and capable, and then set about doing it.
Sure. I think one of the things that would be something that our government should consider is people that are on government assistance, getting them into schools so that they can see that there is a way out. So many times they think, I can't get off the government assistance because I can't afford to be without it, because I have children, because I have this, that, and the other.
I agree with you. And there are companies out there that are hungry for hardworking individuals that have good attitudes, that show up to work every day. They've got good skill sets. They're willing to learn. There's no reason you will be able to find a job. You'll be able to find a job in Greenwood. We have some wonderful companies here in Greenwood, and we're going to have some more. And there's people working every day, the elected officials in both the city and the county, and other individuals that are working, and plus our elected delegation, as far as in the House and the Senate, to make Greenwood a place that people, you look at what we've got here with the hospital and the genetics center and Lander and
Piedmont. Genetics center, look where that's going. Wow.
Yeah, and I think genetics will fundamentally change the practice of medicine. Today we treat a lot of symptoms. I've had high blood pressure since I was 20 years old. I'm genetically predisposed to have high blood pressure. They told me I had essential hypertension, which means I got it. They don't know why I got it, but I got it. And all they do is give you pills to lower your
blood pressure.
But I think in the future, they'll be able to go in and say, well, you've got a default in some XYZ chromosome something, and they'll
go in. We're going to remove it. And then
we're going to remove it or repair it, and you won't have that issue. So I think those are some of the things that are so encouraging. You think about healthcare in general. I was talking with someone one day, and I said, imagine if you was a nurse 30 years ago working in the hospital, and you went home, went to sleep.
You woke up 30 years later.
Woke up 30 years later, and you walked in down there. It looked like something off Star Trek. I mean, it would look...
Well, look at how we look at Star Trek, and we look at all the things we're able to do based on Star Trek.
Yeah. I just happen to think, though, you may have listeners out there that don't even know what Star... They're young enough. Me and you are dating ourselves. They don't even know what Star Trek is.
Oh, come on. How could somebody not know what Star Trek is? Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or... just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I tell you what, it's been an interesting philosophy hour with Dr. Brooks here this afternoon. I think that, you know, it's important because I think sometimes we get so stuck in our ways that it's very hard to see yourself getting outside the box that you've boxed yourself into.
I totally agree. And that's one thing I've tried to do my entire life is not get boxed in.
Yeah. You know that commercial where everybody's standing in the box and the one guy goes to get out? No, I'm going to stay in the box. Yeah. It's more comfortable there. So, but, you know, you have been very fortunate out there at Piedmont Tech to really come with some great equipment has come your way. I mean, the, what is it, the 8-9 transmission.
Yeah, ZF produces a ZF Corporation, which is a German company, produces a 9-speed transmission that they're the only ones in the, that do that. And if
that's going to transform car making, isn't
it? Let me just tell you, if you go from a 6-speed to their 9-speed, you're going to get approximately a 30% increase in fuel economy.
I guess the oil companies aren't real pleased with them,
no,
are they?
No, but that company, they have expanded, and there's actually some companies that have gotten some of the Greenwood based businesses have contracts to produce parts for ZF. And one of the things they also do at ZF, you were talking about equipment, one of the things they use is a thing called a coordinate measuring machine, which is a computerized device that measures all their parts, and it will measure to one. If you can imagine taking an inch and dividing it into a million pieces, this thing will measure down. Dust will affect its accuracy.
Wow.
Yeah, and so what they do is try to maintain very tight tolerances on all their parts, all their clearances, and so they routinely, so one of the things we had to do for them was train their assemblers and some of their CNC operators on how to use this machine. And this machine's about, it was a coordinated effort between Ready SC, which is the South Carolina, State of South Carolina corporate training incentive for companies to come. The machine was about $350,000, and then there's a software you can use to teach people how to use this machine, because this machine is robotics. Once it starts, it's got an arm moving around measuring things, so you don't want it crashing into something. And so Carl Zeiss, who is the president of Zeiss Manufacturing, that's who makes the CMM machine, was up at our center one day, and one of our faculty members was talking with him, and he was asking him how it was going, and he said, "Well, Mr. Zeiss, it's going fine." He said, "But this software is about, I think, $80,000 or $90,000. This simulation suite is." He said, "The problem we're having is not having enough software to be able to train people, so they get backlogged, you know, to get to the machine."
Sure.
And so we ended up getting a $1 million donation from Zeiss Manufacturing.
Wow.
Yeah, to put in 25. Suites of software to simulate that particular operation of that machine. And there's a lot of other companies use this machine, and a lot of other companies will continue to use them as your manufacturing gets more precise. You think about Boeing, think about how precise something has to be in the aircraft industry.
Sure.
But anyway, and then they designated us a Southeastern Regional Training Center for Zeiss Manufacturing for the coordinate measuring machine. And we have people coming in here from all over the country to learn how to operate that particular machine.
And if that faculty member hadn't been talking to him...
Wouldn't have happened.
I mean, you know, that's where you know that you've got people on your side.
Yeah. Well, I've always said in education, the magic really happens with the faculty member. You put a faculty member, a very motivated faculty member that's... loves what they do, you put them in a classroom, you shut the or lab or whatever, you shut the door, that's where the magic happens. It doesn't happen in my office. It doesn't happen, you know, all we do in admissions is help people get into the institution, to get to the faculty, and sometimes they think they're never going to get there because all the forms they have to fill out. But please fill them out. It is worth it when you get there.
And particularly when you can do that instant admissions in one day.
Yeah.
That's such
online,
a good program.
You can go in and fill out a lot of those forms online. The federal financial aid programs, the things are all out there where you can go look at those. But, you know, don't let money stand in your way of a better life.
Well, you know, I think, you know, you were talking about that. I mean, what a phenomenal, phenomenal thing for Piedmont Tech. I mean, that is the thing. It has continued to grow. It has narrowed in on its objective, which I think is very, very smart. You don't try to be everything to every
no.
You try to help people get, let's see, what's the motto? Get from where they
want
to.
We'll meet you where you are and take you to where you want to be.
I'm telling you, see, I knew I was on it here today. Ray Brooks, it is always a pleasure to have you come on and tell us about Piedmont Tech. Do want everybody to know, Monday, what about the Abbeville
Monday,
campus?
Monday, we're replacing the what has been in Abbeville, was put in as a temporary campus in 1996 with double-wide trailers, which are gone now, I hope. But we've got our new campus, which actually opened the first of the year, and we're dedicating that building Monday afternoon. I think it's at 5 o'clock. I've got
5 or 5:30.
Yeah, and if any of you are out there and can come, especially if any listeners in Abbeville, you are absolutely welcome. I'm putting my glasses on where I can read the invitation, but it is at 5:30 on the 21st, Monday, 143 Highway 72 West, Abbeville, South Carolina.
That's right, and this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Ray, one of the things that you had to work with, you had to work with Abbeville, and one of the big commitments that Abbeville made was what?
The city and the county spent about $500,000 just getting sewer out to us. With the property we already had, was not in an area where it had sewer coverage, and which is a beautiful piece of property right there on 72. It's actually backs up to the hospital, but the sewer was out on the other way, so we had to get water and sewer and all those things out there. The people of Abbeville had been very patient, and the college had worked diligently, and the community leadership came together, and there's been money raised, private fund sector money, and the county's put in some money, and they've helped with infrastructure and grading. And I think it goes back to synergy. We cannot compete individually in a global economy. We all got to work together for the common interest of everyone and pool our resources. And everything we've done in all the seven counties we work have been through cooperative partnerships with various community and business and local and individuals.
Kind of like Newberry, where you went in.
Well,
there
Newberry
the
here in Greenwood.
Yeah.
We got the Medford Center.
That's right.
We've got the Symetra Tour coming up, which I know
sure
you've talked about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But some big things, and then like the Lawrence Center over there you've talked about.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on, and there isn't any reason to sit on the sidelines and say, I can't do this.
Yeah, life's not a spectator sport.
You are absolutely right. And as Jim Medford says, go bigger or go home, right?
Yep,
there you go.
That's exactly.
Hey, Ray, thanks so much for coming out this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Ann. I've enjoyed it. And I wish you and Jeff a happy Easter.
Well, same to you. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.